Nathan Frazier Show, episode number 78. You can learn a lot from a con man. All right, here we go.
Government is inefficient and should be dissolved.
What government should actually do is just leave people alone to buy and sell freely among themselves. If they just leave self-interested traders to compete with one another, markets are guided to positive outcomes as if by an invisible hand.
It's free markets that are moral because you only succeed if you meet the needs and wants of other people.
One of the hard things for people to understand is that the more you try to control an economy, the more quickly it falls apart.
Capitalism. God's way of determining who is smart and who is poor.
All right, free market squad in the place to be. Thank you for taking a half hour, or however long this takes, out of your week to hang with me. I am, of course, your host with the Hero Complex, the High Priest of Propaganda, Nathan Frazier. And today we are going to be talking about what you can learn from a con man. Now, that immediately is probably going to send off some red flags for people, and that's okay. I'm going to start the show off by telling you a little story from my childhood. So when I was 14, 15 years old, I got into the drug dealing game. Not something that I'm proud of, not something I'm bragging about, just is what it is. My cousin actually got me into using and selling drugs at a very early age, and so here's the deal. Got me smoking pot. Actually, I was drinking and doing some harder drugs before I started smoking pot, but he's the one that introduced me to pot. He's the one that introduced me into selling drugs, and came to me one day and was like, look, if you take $100, we can buy an ounce. We can chop that up. Chop it up. That's not the proper terms. But we can break it up into some quarters and some eighths. We can sell it, and you can make double your money back. And I was like, double my money back? Hell yeah. So I gave him $100. He went out to go buy me some weed and never came back. And the next day, he finally showed up, and he was like, oh, man, we got robbed. The guy took our gas money. We weren't able to make it back to town. And I had like a sneaking suspicion that he was lying to me, but he was my cousin. And I gave him a pass on it. And the next time he came to me, he was like, hey, we can go buy some weed. I know a guy that's got some really good stuff. And you can make double your money back. And I trust this guy way better than I trusted the last guy. You won't get ripped off. And he went out and he bought an ounce of weed, and he came back, and he actually brought it back that time. And so I was like, okay, so my confidence kind of went up with him. And so that happened. We broke it up. We sold off a bunch of eighths and quarters and made my money back. And it was dope. And again, he came to me again, and he was like, hey, I got a good deal on an ounce of weed. You want to check it out? And I gave him $100. He went, this was before I had my own connections. And he went out, got me an ounce of weed, came back. We broke it up. This one was short, probably, I don't know, two or three bowls. I let it slide, though, because I made a bunch of my money back. I just took the two or three bowls out of my own eighth, and I sold the other eighths and made my money back. And again, my cousin came to me one time and was like, hey, I got a guy. Got some weed. You want to check it out? You want to buy some? We can flip it. We can make some money. And I trusted him with $100. He went out, lost my money. Lost in air quotes. This happened a couple of times over like about a year's time. He ripped me off, said that he got ripped off. I don't believe that's the case now, but as a young, gullible teenager, ripped me off three times. The third time was the last time. The third time was he said he could get a pound for $700, and I got some of my money together, and one of my buddies pitched in as well. We went in on a pound, and my cousin took our money and never came back. Well, came back like 3 days later, didn't have the weed, didn't have the money, said that he got ripped off. Why did I keep falling for this over and over and over again though? Three times, and the last time for almost $400 of my own money, plus $350 of one of my buddies' monies. So anyways, the reason why I kept falling for this is because my cousin instilled confidence in me. He was confident that he could buy it. He was confident that we could make our money back. And because he was confident, even though he had ripped me off in the past, I was confident that it would be different this time. Battered wife syndrome, anybody? So have you ever noticed that politicians get away with this same crap? George Bush Senior, read my lips, no new taxes. Bill Clinton, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. George Bush Jr., no more nation building. We're going to end these wars. Barack Obama, we're going to close Guantanamo Bay. We're going to improve race relations in this country. Donald Trump, we're going to prosecute crooked Hillary and get us out of all these crazy wars. Okay, so why do these people constantly get away with lying to us? Why do these people blatantly lie to our faces, and yet we let them get away with it, and the next time they come back with their new and improved lie, we fall for it all over again? Maybe not you, maybe not me, but the masses out there. Overall, it's very clear that the majority of people, it doesn't matter how many times they get lied to by their politicians, it doesn't matter how many scandals come up, they still have faith in these politicians. They do the exact opposite. It's common knowledge. Politicians are liars. They're professional liars. They say one thing before the election, they say another thing after the election. We know this, but they still keep their supporters. They still keep their support, their base. And I didn't get it. It was so hard for me to understand. And it's not just politicians. Gurus in whatever field that you're in. I mean, if there's more than one guru, there's going to be two different points of view on very polarizing different things. And the thing about it is if one guru says one thing and one guru says another thing, one of them's got to be wrong, but whichever one it is that's wrong will still have their followers. And so a lot of times they're both wrong. And a lot of times gurus just talk out of their ass, and yet they still have tons of people following them. Futurists, people that like to predict the future and tell us what's coming next, especially in like the tech world, people in the economy. Bitcoin's just a fad. Bitcoin's never going to mean anything. People that were saying that 10 years ago or 5 years ago or whatever the case, 5 years ago is probably more appropriate. People that were saying that 5 years ago still have a huge fan base that still hang on every single word. Doomsday cults. The world's going to end on September 28th, or the world's going to end on 2001. The world's going to end on 2012. Every single time these doomsday cults are wrong, do they lose? Does it impact them? Do they lose followers? A lot of times, no. And a lot of times, in fact, the followers become more steadfast because the cult leader, the person that they look to for confidence, says, oh, yeah, we might have gotten the date wrong, but we're definitely not wrong about the event. The world is definitely going to end. Let me go back and recalculate. And, oh, you know what? Actually, it's July 28th, not September 28th. I was wrong. It's next year, not this year, but I was right though. I just was wrong about the date. They keep that confidence, and the people still keep the confidence in them. It's just what happened. So here's the deal. I'm going to come back to this in a little bit. I'm going to bring this into marketing and your business and the different levels of copywriting. So the worst thing that people do when they're business owners that write their own copy, if you're a business owner, stick to what you're good at. And if it's not writing copy, hire somebody else to write your copy, because business owners mess up their own copy so much. But business owners love to take on writing their own copy for some reason. Doesn't matter how they're like, I'm going to save some money by not hiring a copywriter. I'm going to save $2,000 by writing this myself. Doesn't matter that it's going to cost me $15,000 in wasted advertising. But that's okay. That's a totally different subject. Business owners try to write their own copy and they try to sell the features. They're like, it's got mahogany wood grain outer finishing, and it's got a 3-car garage, not understanding that people don't buy the features. So a little bit more knowledgeable copywriter is going to say, well, you don't want to sell the features. You want to sell the benefits. That's a little bit better way of selling. So instead of saying, oh, it's got a two-car garage, you say, hey, it's got a garage that you can turn into a man cave. It's got a big, luscious backyard. Hey, it's got an area where your kids can play in safety. So instead of just saying the features, we're going to talk about the benefits, because selling benefits is a little bit more advanced than selling features. Now, good copywriters will tell you it's not about selling the benefits. It's actually about selling the transformation. So a big backyard is a feature. A benefit is your kids can play safely. The transformation is you're going to have a happy family. That's what you're really selling, is what more advanced copywriters will say. More advanced copywriters will say what you're really selling is the transformation. The feature is you'll lose 5 pounds. The benefit is you'll look good in your bathing suit. The transformation is you're going to be sexy as fuck. That's the transformation. People are really buying the transformation. At least that's what more advanced copywriters will tell you. I'm going to disagree with all of those. What people are really buying from you is confidence. People are terrified that they're not going to make the right decision. That's why buyer's remorse comes in. That's why buyer's paralysis comes in. People are afraid. They don't understand that whatever it is that they're looking into, especially if it's for the first time, they have no idea. They're so afraid of being led astray. They're afraid of wasting their valuable time. They're afraid of wasting their valuable money. They're afraid of all of these things. They just want some confidence. And that's what they're really buying from you. Confidence that you can help them solve their problem. Confidence that you can help them attain their goal. I personally, as an individual, I've always been able to exude confidence. Even when I'm doubtful about something, I can still say, well, how hard can this really be? Of course I can take it on. I've been able to accomplish so much in my life. What's one more thing? Even if I'm not sure that I can take it on, I'm pretty sure that I can take it on. So I learned early in life that I could handle most anything that life threw at me. I mean, 5 years old and dropping out of school, probably not the best example of sticking it to the man, but I realized very early that I didn't have to bow down to authority figures. In all of my... by like 13, we were homeless. From like 13 to 15 and a half, we were homeless. So living out the back of a pickup truck, jumping from campsite to campsite, I lived through that. I can live through anything. Started work at 15, started my own business selling drugs at 15 as well. I learned pretty early that I can take on things, and as long as I was confident about it, more often than not, the results were good. And so I've accepted challenges pretty frequently throughout my life. Whenever I'm in a work position and somebody says, hey, we need somebody to take this on, I'm usually the first guy to raise my hands and be like, yo, I can do that. Starting businesses with people, man, confidence is so important when you're trying to get somebody to invest their time or their money into your business. You have to be confident. If you're not confident that your business venture is going to take off, nobody's going to be confident for you. You have to have that confidence. You have to bring that confidence to the table. So throughout my life, I've learned that the more confidence I have in myself, the more confidence other people are going to have in me. And more often than not, when I'm confident that I can take something on, I usually succeed. And this is the case for most people. The reason that most people don't succeed is not because they couldn't succeed. It's because they weren't confident enough to even start in the first place. But if you're confident to start in the first place, more likely than not, you're going to realize that confidence was justified. So throughout my life, I've often been trusted with, maybe it's because I was the oldest child and I had to learn this stuff early. Maybe I had that advantage, oldest child privilege. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, I've always been the type of guy that says, you know what? I'm not sure how I'm going to build this parachute, but I'm going to jump off the building and I'm going to figure it out on the way down. And more often than not, I figured out how to make the parachute before I splatted on the ground. I've splatted a couple times. I'm not going to say that I'm perfect or anything, but more often than not, I figure it out before I hit the concrete. So more often than not, people trusted me because I'm confident. And even if I had no idea whether I could actually pull it off or not, I pulled it off. So that's why I say people buy confidence. People aren't buying features. People are kind of buying benefits. More so they're buying transformations. But when it really comes down to it, people are buying confidence. And if you don't have confidence, you're never going to get started. You're never going to actually make it to the finish line because you're never even going to take that first step on the journey. This is when it comes to your business. People are uncertain. People have been burnt before. People are afraid that they're going to make the wrong decision. They're afraid that they're going to waste their money. They're afraid that they're going to waste their time. They need you to step in and be confident for them. As you go through life, well, let me hold off on that for 1 second. I'm jumping ahead of myself. People are uncertain and they're willing to pay anything for confidence. If a problem is bad enough, they're willing to pay anything to have that confidence that they're going to be able to solve that problem or make that goal or get that goal accomplished. So if you can present yourself as confident, if you're confident in what you sell, if you're confident in that what you sell will help them achieve what they need to achieve, then you're going to make them feel confident. And that's what they really want. And if you can make them feel confident, they're eventually going to end up paying you for whatever it is that you sell. Ways that people screw this up is in their copy at the very end of it, they lose their confidence right before they ask for the sale. They're like, you might want to check this out. If this sounds good for you, check out this. If not, I totally understand, but you might want to at least give it a look. That right there tells them, okay, this guy's not confident or this girl's not confident. I'm not going to be confident either. In one-to-one selling, when you're selling yourself for a job application, when you're selling yourself on trying to get investors for your business, when you're trying to actually sell whatever it is that you sell one-on-one, if you start using wiggle words like, well, you know, it's usually works. It almost always works for people. So I'm pretty sure that it might work for you. When you start showing those signs that you're not confident in what you're selling, other people are going to lose their confidence. And once they lose their confidence, you've lost the sale. So really, more than features, more than benefits, more than transformation, what you're actually selling is confidence, and you have to have confidence. So if you're not confident in what you're selling, you shouldn't be selling it in the first place. If you are confident, do not let your own personal insecurities overwhelm or override that confidence in what you're selling. Make sure that when you're selling from point A to point Z, every step along the way, you are putting forth as much confidence as you possibly can. Because if you don't, if you just trip up on one step and lose that confidence, you've lost the sale. And that's a sad fact of what it is. So if you lack confidence, you're never going to get started. If you push through, if you start taking on, and it doesn't even have to be big things, it can be little tiny things, just challenge yourself on a daily basis, challenge yourself. Failing is not the worst option. Not trying at all is the worst possible outcome. So try things, try new things, try things that you're uncertain about, try things that you're not confident about. You're going to get some small wins. You're going to realize that there was no reason not to be confident in the first place, and it's going to start building up your confidence in yourself. The more often you get told no, there's a great book called Go for No. And one of the main aspects of it is everybody gets rejected once in a while. Sometimes we get rejected. If you've got like a high ticket offer, you're going to get rejected pretty frequently. If you know, out of every 10 people that say no, I get at least one yes. Once you know that ratio, then every no just becomes a step closer to yes. So confidence is important. And even rejection, getting over rejection. Rejection doesn't have to stop you. Rejection, so here's the deal. If you screw up occasionally, all you have to do is get back up and get back to bat and remember all the times that you hit a home run before. Remember all the times that you actually did hit the ball. I don't even play sports, so I don't know why I'm resorting to sports analogies. But the fact of the matter is if you just get back up and you say, okay, well, out of every 3 times I swing, I hit one. And out of every 1 or every 10 that I hit, I get a home run. Then missing once in a while doesn't really hurt you that bad, because you know that every time you miss, that's another step closer to the home run. So get some confidence. Start, but you're never going to get that confidence if you're too afraid to ever step up at bat. So follow up. And here's what it really comes down to. This ties it all the way back to what I started off with. Why do these politicians, why do con men constantly get away with it? After they've burnt people, they can still get away with it. Why was my cousin, after he ripped me off $100, a couple of weeks later, able to rip me off again $100? And a couple of months after that, able to rip me off $350? Because he was confident. Every single time he came to me, he was like, man, I got this good hookup. It's some really good weed. There's not very many seeds. It's bright green. It's got some orange hairs on it. Give me $100. I'll go get it. We'll be able to flip it. You'll be able to have $200 by the end of the night. He was confident. And even though he burnt me in the past, his confidence rubbed off on me. Politicians get caught lying left and right. But every time they step up and tell their next lie, they're confident about it. And therefore, we're confident in them. Not we, not me, not you, the listener, probably. But the average idiots out there that keep voting for these assholes, every single time these politicians step up with new empty promises, the masses are confident that they're going to actually fulfill their promises this time. Gurus, futurists, cult leaders, doomsday cult leaders, all of these people, the reason that they get away with it over and over and over again is because every time they fail, every time they're wrong, every time that they're proven wrong, they step back up to the plate and they're confident. So you don't have to be one of these douchebag con men, douchebag criminals, douchebag politicians, douchebag cult leaders. But as a business owner, you need to take a little bit of, you need to understand why it works for them. And you need to know that you need to employ it in your own business. You need to be confident. If you're not confident in what you sell, if you're not confident in your selling process, if you're not confident in your sales copy, if you're not confident when you're talking to people on the phone, when you're doing person-to-person sales or business-to-business sales, if you don't exude confidence, you're not going to make the sale. People aren't buying features. People aren't buying benefits. People aren't buying transformation. People are buying confidence. They want you to be confident for them. That's what they're buying from you. So even if you fail, next time you step up to bat, be confident. Even if you're terrified to step up to bat, do it and be confident. And the more times you do it, the more confidence you'll have, the easier it'll be for you to be confident. But if you lack confidence, it's going to scream and people are not going to want to do business with you. So that's the main takeaway. The biggest thing that you're selling, no matter what it is that you're selling, the biggest thing that you're actually selling is confidence. All right. That's the lesson. That's the number one lesson that you can learn from a con man. I hope that, that this episode made sense to you. And if you think I'm a horrible person for deep diving into the human psyche like this and exposing how the worst people in the world use this information so that you can use it to better your business, then you can fuck off because I don't need you in my audience anyways. My name's Nathan Frazier. I am the high priest of propaganda. You can check out more of my podcast over at The Nathan Frazier Show. You can check out my blog over at freemarketsquad.com. And if you're looking for somebody to write some copy for you and you don't want to get screwed over by all the garbage copywriters out there, I do have something for you for free. Head on over to FMS, that's FMS like Free Market Squad, FMS.agency, and download my free guide for avoiding getting ripped off by a garbage copywriter. You'll actually learn a lot about copywriting in there as well, but I don't really like to tell people about that because I like that to be a surprise. I like to under promise and over deliver. All right, I am out of here. My name is Nathan Frazier, and be confident and go forward into the world. I love you guys. Deuces.
Free minds, free markets, free people.
Hey, I've got a real quick question for you. Are your advertising efforts not getting the response you expected? Would you like them to perform better? If so, I've got something that'll help you out. Before you spend another dime on advertising, head on over to my website and download your free copywriting consumer awareness guide. In it, you'll discover 4 red flags that can help you avoid hiring a bad copywriter, 9 foundational elements that every good sales message should include, 3 questions you must ask before you spend a penny on sales copy, 4 secret editing tricks that'll drive people to keep reading your ads, and a whole lot more. Want to get the most out of your advertising budget? Head on over to freemarketsquad.com/copyguide and claim your free copywriting consumers awareness guide today.